Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Couples for Destiny, a special edition of the Voice of Destiny show. Our vision is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you in your covenant relationships. My co-host is Juanita Harris, who's all the way in Ohio, joining us this morning to help us to invite our guests today, Rick and Liz Kendall, the visionaries and leaders of Rick Kendall Ministries. And we are talking about the powerful principle of oneness in marriage. And I want to welcome Rick and Liz to the show, and thank you for joining us. And I'm going to ask you if you can start off by definitely letting us know about the vision and the life that God's given you together as a couple. What's your story? You know, what is the story that God's given you for your oneness?
Oh, hi. It's great to be with you. And this is Rick.
And this is Liz.
And we're thrilled to be here today and hope to be a blessing to everybody that's listening. And we've been in the ministry for over 40 years and married for over 40 years.
Yeah.
And we tell people we got married when we were 5.
Sure.
But we in that ministry have pastored and evangelized and all those kind of things. And about 12 years ago, God began to deal with us about giving our church to another pastor so that we could help ministers and ministries and marketplace people to realize their destiny and purpose, and started a network at that time called the Body Network. And since then, a few years ago, we felt the Lord calling us to go up to the next level and renamed it the Global Embassy Network.
Yeah, and in our marriage, when we were still pastoring our Victory Church, Victory Outreach Center, we experienced a lot of the ups and downs of religion, basically, the system. And we were separated for over 3 years. We came back together about 20 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time where we learned that being religious is different than realizing our rights as kingdom citizens. We are really in the kingdom, and religion can bind us up with systems, and our church grew real fast. And we weren't ready. And the thing is that we are free. We are kingdom citizens. We know our rights in the kingdom, and we didn't know that. So I don't think that would have happened if we would have that knowledge. Even though we were in the kingdom, we did know our rights. And it's so wonderful to belong to the kingdom of God and to know of what God, you know, wants for our lives with our gifts and talents and have a purpose. And now that we are together and looking back, we have gained a lot of understanding more about marriage and how marriage should be.
When you say religion caused some problems, can you explain to us which part of religion caused the issues in your marriage?
Yeah, so not religion in the true sense and the pure sense that the Bible talks about, you know, to help the widows and the orphans, but in the sense of what the world has made out of what should be the kingdom of God, made a system of religion, you know, a hierarchy, a very, very much centered on doing ministry instead of being citizens of the kingdom.
Yeah,
you know? So when we
understand. Would put a pressure on marriage. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of times in religious systems, we put expectations on marriage that God never established. You know, standards and way a husband and a wife are supposed to relate that has nothing to do with God's love, has nothing to do with God's word, but tradition. And then a lot of times the pressure of trying to live up to this ideal of religion, to living up to the ideal of the Word of God, does get people in trouble, because marriage is an invention of God. He designed it. He created it. And so it needs to be operated and ran by a principle. And a lot of times we take the principle of God and replace it with the traditions of man. So for you, what was the turning point?
Well, for me, you know, as I was, you know, at home raising our two children, Ricky J. and Victoria. In many ways, I felt left out because I was not a part of what was going on and all the excitement that was going on and all the things in church. And my husband was overburdened with the growth, and we're not built that way. You know, in the kingdom, we are to know who we are before we can go and do, you know, great things.
Yeah.
We don't know who
yeah.
we are. We have that identity. So I think that I'm going to turn it over to my husband, but the turning point for me was that when we were separated, God deeply searched me, and I searched myself, but he, of course, we had to allow God to search us, and he showed me a lot of things that in my personal life, how I should be open to what God had for me in the kingdom as a kingdom citizen.
What happens is oftentimes in the religious system of things, that what we call man-made tradition, is
yes.
that the minister gets put up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And
yes.
that's not a place where a servant of the king should be because it brings an undue stress upon the marriage. And not only that, but then at times you become married to the ministry.
Mm.
And God never called us to be married to ministry in our marriage. We should be married to each other. One time God dealt with me and said, I said, Lord, you know, I've been called to ministry, but why is everything a constant battle? I mean, I know I was called to ministry. And God really impressed my heart and said, you were never called to ministry. And I'm like, well,
wow.
And you know, what do you mean by that? And then this is over a few months. It's not in, you know, one fell swoop. But, I mean, I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, nobody's called to ministry. They're called to me.
Wow.
And then ministry outflow. And so part of our process in the time we were separated and seemed to lose all of our ministry at that time was to gain. Now, when you die, the seed goes in the ground and dies. It abides alone, but when it dies, then it bears forth fruit. So we were resurrected to a new understanding of true ministry,
mm-hmm.
and I found that, you know, first of all, I need to know who I am, and my wife and I are married to each other, and then out of our marriage is the outflow of ministry.
We need to take a definite break right here, and I wanted to find out when we get back, Apostle Rick and Liz Kendall, about some of the secrets God has given you guys to keep the oneness between the two of you with all the pressures and the process of being one and becoming one, as the scripture says, the two shall become one. You know, that is, was it instant for you? Or was this process, because you guys came from different cultural backgrounds, different language backgrounds, and everybody comes into a marriage with these different backgrounds, but you guys have some very obvious ones. How did God give you the secrets to actually causing that oneness to mature into what it is today? We'll be right back after this destiny break.
Now I don't want to lose the time that we have. When you really think about it, the good outweighs the bad. Let's stay together.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at YICenter.com. That's YICenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Matthew 19, verses 5 says, from the beginning, he made them male and female. and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they no longer are two, but one flesh. This is the prophetic state of being that God calls a man and a woman into. But we know from the statistics, even here in America, that it seems like as many people that are getting married, the same numbers are divorcing, because so many of us have not learned the art and the science behind this oneness. And so I've asked Apostle Rick and Liz, can you give us some of the insightful secrets that God's given you for preserving your oneness, coming from such different backgrounds, if you can tell a little bit about that part of your relationship, and then how did you guys figure that all out by the Spirit of God?
Well, let me first say that we really appreciate you having us here, because it's always so precious to share our testimony. But one of the greatest things for me as a woman, emotionally, physically, and here on this earth, that I think all women need is to know that their husbands put them first as far as marriage is concerned. Not before God, but, marriage is concerned. And when we came back together, one of the key reasons why I came back to him and he came back to me too. It's obviously that God had dealt with us individually first. But to me, something very profound, and he said to me, he would leave everything for me. And he said, you are my ministry. Because God already dealt with him that I was his ministry first and his family. And then everything that came out of both of us, like you say, that oneness, then that's true ministry, not the ministry that we had before. I mean, we did do a lot of great things, and a lot of people got saved and everything, but if our home is not in order, then nothing really falls into place, So, but as far as the oneness, I really think that he's got something to share on that, because it's really good about being individuals, but being one.
I think there needs to be an understanding, because, even today, although nobody's tighter than we are so much in love even after all these years, and we truly are. You hear people, whenever I do counseling, I'm sure you have too, both of you, you ask them, what's the problem? And they say, well, we've just grown apart. But if they listen closely, they would hear something there. They're both growing, but just apart. And I think the reason for that is because throughout marriage, you go through stages of change. And if you don't keep up with your stage or your season the shift of what your role is, then you do lose sight of it. And so one thing that came out to me one time when I was actually doing a wedding was the very scripture that you talked about, these two shall become one flesh. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but right in the middle of the ceremony, God says, we need to talk.
Wow. Fortunately, no. Wow.
I said, well, okay, I'll look forward to that. And so what he began to speak to me is, he says, people don't understand what that scripture is saying. He says, because the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are three distinct parts, but they're one. And he says, and most people think, because they're taught that when you get married, two become one. He says they become one flesh, but what it means there is they become one team. They become one unit, but they're still two distinct individuals. And I think a lot of people, when they're standing there, they subconsciously think when they're in the marriage ceremony, well, great, he's going to become me. And she's going to become, she's going to become me. And then they get the rude awakening that
she's taking my name.
So what it means is, what we learned in coming back together through the 3 years that we were separated 20 years ago, we discovered that, you know what, I need to celebrate her for being who she is. And she wanted to celebrate me for who I am, and then put our uniqueness into complement instead of constant a battle.
Yeah. He was so tied up with the ministry, and I was so tied up in the household and being a mother, which I love. I love that. But we also have dreams, each one of us. And even though they're maybe a little different, we both support each other. And I always say, we have to have the main thing be the main thing, and that is our marriage. ministry, mm-hmm. yes, that we do together, but that my husband has the direction on this one, then, you know, everything flows, because then I do other things too. You know, I'm very much in business, and I love that, and he just supports me, and but the main thing keeps being the main thing. We have learned to have one thing that we just do together, and then mm-hmm. we can do separate things too. But I think that's a really good secret that we have found, that if we have the main thing, make it the main thing. That's good.
Yeah, and this is important for couples to recognize. I know for me and Millie, as we're approaching our 26th wedding anniversary, we understood that our main thing was raising our kids. But our kids are almost all of them almost grown now. And so now what is going to be the main thing next? And we are both individually coming into a new dimension of what it is that God wants us to be, and how do we express that? We're going to continue to be parents, but that one thing has been a big glue for us, and now that our children are adult children, we're having to cultivate and come into a new dimension. And I was telling Juanita, we're at a stage that neither one of us, we don't want nobody telling us what to do. We want to do what we want to do. So we're learning the art, you know, of maintaining that oneness and coming. And I think it's something really important that couples need to observe. Let's take a destiny break here, and let's come back and continue to talk about the power of oneness, the potential of it. You know, the whole world is craving for this oneness. This is why we have these confusions about what marriage is, because people are trying to meet the requirement to get access to this phenomenon that God gives a man and a woman when they come into holy matrimony. Let's talk about why it's so important to us as a people in kingdom culture to nurture and to grow and to develop this incredible resource that God has given us in the kingdom. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to a special edition of the Voice of Destiny show, Couples for Destiny. My co-host is Juanita Harris from Juanita Harris Ministries in Ohio, and our special guest today is Apostle Rick and Liz Kendall of Kendall Ministries in Florida, an apostolic visionary ministry team that has been such a blessing. And I got to tell you, your story has been inspiring. People really don't understand what visionaries, leaders, ministry gifts actually are go through in the process of it. They're everyday people. They're regular people, too, in their personal lives, but yet they have the weight of vision upon them. What insights can you give those of us that are in ministry to preserve and protect that oneness, and also to help people who are reaping the resource of that team to be sensitive? How could we be sensitive to people who carry vision that's blessing our lives in their marriage? Because this marriage thing is really important resource for us in kingdom culture. It is a major way I believe God wants us to affect the culture, because it's literally a sign and a wonder when people hear of someone that's been married 40-something years. Many of them, they've not seen a couple last that long. And so it's really phenomenal. So give us some insight about those things, you know, about the value of it and what we could do to help support those in our lives that are in marriage.
Well, I think I would start off by saying about the visionary, because there should be two visionaries in a marriage, but they should be complementary and not, you know, competitive. But when you were talking earlier about the main thing, I think that it just to kind of bring a little bit of crystallizing to that, you know, I think sometimes we think visionary means what we're wanting to do, what we want to accomplish. But vision is not what we do, it's why we do it. Vision is the eyesight to our purpose. And our purpose is not just what we want to get done, but purpose is who we are. So marriage, one thing I think Liz and I would both say is that it's a celebration of your spouse. It's celebrating who they are as a unique individual, celebrating their passion, their heart. The more I celebrate my wife, the more then it releases her to celebrate me. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, she discovered, you know, in fact, I'll just tell you, would you like to hear a miracle? I mean, right here on the air.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's a miracle. An Irish Indian is married to a Latin Mexican.
Okay.
It's a miracle.
Wow.
It is. But you know what? I think, like you said, everybody comes from different backgrounds. And in their mm-hmm. own home, they have their culture. So they do mm-hmm. come from different cultures. We are the exaggerated version, but mm-hmm. but everybody does come from different cultures, and it's a wonder, and it really is a wonder to mm-hmm. make that work as that we look mm-hmm. so different.
Wow. I mean, your kids having to grow up in those different cultures, you know, are we Latin, are we Mexican, are we Irish, you know, what are we, you know? But I think what they have, what they probably grew up understanding that we're kingdom citizens, and just the power. Yeah, the power of seeing that blend, I think, is really incredible for us. Because when you told me that you really didn't speak your wife's language that well, and she didn't speak yours, but you guys spoke the language of love.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Benita. Uh-huh, the language of love. And I think it's just powerful for us to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think when you mention culture, it goes back to something that, you know, she has a culture that is very rich, and, you know, how Latinos can be very, very demonstrative. And I'm more mm-hmm. laid back, except when you get my mm-hmm. Irish eyes up, you know. but we're constantly, you know, we're constantly changing, and we're constantly mm-hmm. growing. And the key is to recognize and not be threatened by that, but actually consider it a discovery. Because the key culture here, to me, as Liz was talking about the main thing, it's mm-hmm. not the cult of religion. It's not the culture even of our whole lives evolving just around one area of a stage mm-hmm. of our life. But the culture is the culture of the kingdom.
Yeah.
When you get the culture of the kingdom, you're going to, and then he says, if you'll seek that first, then everything else will be added.
Yes,
absolutely.
That is so true. If you don't grow in your marriage, then it becomes stale. And as you said, people talk about growing apart. You grow apart because you haven't been together. And when the major stages of life happen, such as your children leaving, mm-hmm. then you don't know who the person is that you're living with, and mm-hmm. it becomes a problem. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. most people don't want to do the work, and they feel like the thing to do is get a divorce. I've been married mm-hmm. 28, 30 years, and my children are grown, and I don't know this man, so I should get a divorce rather mm-hmm. than doing the work and letting the things that interested you about each other early in your marriage become the same thing that interests you in later years. I have a question for Rick and Liz. What was your biggest challenge in the first 5 years of your marriage?
I think, well, for us particularly, it was the language. But aside from that, it's really knowing each other. And we didn't have children for 9 years, so we had the need to really know each other a little bit. But I think that is a challenge to start adjusting to each other, knowing each other in, you know, living together and knowing how to adjust each other in the household, since before, you know, we didn't live together or anything like that. So we got married as virgins, both of us. And it was, I think, mm-hmm. the adjustment of knowing each other in the home. Do you remember anything else?
You know, I think, too, I would just kind of throw this in here, too, that most of the time, I've found in counseling people, and even in what we went through, it varies because nothing's in a box. But a lot of times, the first 10 or 15 years basically good marriage are okay. They have their challenges and getting to know one another. But a lot of people, and this is where I've found, they think their marriage is over because it's played out. And they think, well, now where's the sizzle? He doesn't want to talk to me like he used to, and where's he used to do stuff? And what we found out through what we went through is that, you know, people think it's over when really what played out was first gear.
Yeah.
Mm.
And
wow.
And well, second gear is even better, and they thought it was over because first gear played out, but you always have to change gears.
Wow. Well, Apostle Rick, you know, we actually ran out of time. Could you guys stay and let's talk about second gear? Because I think that's very important for marriages to understand that your purpose remains the same, but the vision will modify itself based on the changes on the ground. So I want to thank our guests, Rick and Liz Kendall. Before we leave, can you please tell us really quick how our listeners can connect with your ministry online in case they would either in your area or they want to access the resource or the events that you're having? And then we want to come back and talk about second gear on the next show.
Thank you. Yes, they can go to our website, www.rickkendall.org, or they could go to our network website, globalembassynetwork.com. And we also have a Facebook presence, Rick Kendall, and I think Liz is just Liz Kendall, right?
Right.
And we also are on Twitter and all those other twits.
Wow. Hey, brothers and sisters, remember, today is a great day because this is the day the Lord has made for you. Voice of Destiny broadcast is available to you and Couples for Destiny on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com 24/7. God bless you, and remember, Jesus is Lord.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Hawk. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.